Well, that's usually the claims of my older brothers or wife.
I'll restore all your time, and you can start from the top.
Well, a little excitement to a long morning, I'm sure. Well, just to reiterate, is reflected in our briefs, this matter comes before this court after the Board of Immigration Appeals upheld an immigration judge's decision to deny a green card application and to essentially order the permanent removal of Elizabeth Keithley from this country. This court is de novo review. We basically have a legal issue at hand here. And because the board's decision was neither precedent nor relied on precedent, it is entitled to the lesser Skidmore deference. The reason Elizabeth Keithley doesn't have her green card today is not because she didn't follow the laws and procedures and her husband didn't follow the laws and procedures or committed any crimes. It's because she visited the Bloomington, Illinois Secretary of State's office solely to obtain a state ID shortly after arriving, presenting her Philippine passport and non-immigrant visa as identification, and thereafter misled into registering to vote and ultimately voting. But for voting, Mrs. Keithley was deemed otherwise eligible for green cards.
What are the misrepresentations? You say misled into voting. And of course, one of the responses that I understand in the Attorney General's brief is that you've never identified any false statements made to your client. In fact, your client apparently has said that she can't remember why she checked the box saying she was a citizen and wanted to register to vote, and then can't remember why she subsequently voted.
I believe she didn't check a box. She didn't recall there being a box checked, and the misstatement or the misleading behavior
was a box, and she signed on a line saying, I'm a citizen of the United States, and then she voted in an election.
Respectfully, it wasn't clear that when she signed it, it was checked, and in fact, that conclusion was verified by the judge in dismissing a false claim to citizenship charge that was part of the notice to appear in these proceedings. The act by the Secretary of State was to proceed with the voter registration after clearly presenting herself as a recent arrival from the Philippines on a Philippine passport and on a non-immigrant visa. Now, the law says voting in violation of state, federal, or other law is the reason that we want to remove aliens from this country or deny them entry or deny them permanent residence. And it's the federal voting law that's been deemed applicable here because she voted. Nobody's contesting that. She voted in a federal congressional election. The statute to which that charge relates is 18 U.S.C. 611. It's a federal criminal statute prohibiting voting by non-citizens. But there's been no criminal charge or proceedings on that alleged violations in a criminal court. But an alleged violation of that statute are the basis of the rulings ordering Mrs. Keithley's removal below and denying her green card. Mrs. Keithley credibly asserted that her registering to vote came only as a result of being guided down that path by a government official after presenting her Philippine passport and her U.S. non-immigrant visa. Voting or donating an organ were the last thing on Elizabeth Keithley's mind when she visited the Secretary of State's office shortly after arriving.
Look, maybe I sent you down the wrong path. The reason why your client was deemed inadmissible was not the registration to vote. It was voting. Your client didn't simply register. Your client voted. Right? That's what violates 611. Now, is there any argument, has your client ever argued that she did not know that she was voting, that she thought she was doing something other than voting?
Of course not. She knew she was voting.
Well, 611 appears to be a general intent statute. There's no requirement that your client, that anybody know that voting as an alien is unlawful. All right, so just forget about the registration. Your client concedes she's an alien, concedes she is voting, and concedes she knew she was voting. Is there any other element of 611 that hasn't been established?
Well, let's suppose that she was charged criminally, and there's a defense that's available to her because it's not an indefensible charge. And Ms. Keithley has the defense of entrapment by estoppel because she ultimately was issued a voter registration card as a result of a faulty process.
If I understand your argument, she is not saying either that anybody told her to vote. Your whole argument has to do with voter registration. She's not saying anybody told her to vote, and she's not saying anybody assured her that if she voted, it would be lawful. Are you saying either thing?
I'm saying that she voted after what she thought was a right and proper procedure by getting the voter registration card. And that card was the result of a transaction conducted and steered by a Secretary of State official. The lower court, the immigration court.
And that is still another problem, as I understand it. The Attorney General says, without any contradiction from you, as far as I can see, that whatever the scope of this doctrine, it does not permit state officials to allow people to violate federal statutes.
Well, then we're getting into the question of apparent or actual authority. And if we're going to get to that question...
Supremacy clause, federal law binds state officials, and state officials can't say, right? You could just imagine in the southern states in the desegregation days, governor of a state saying, I excuse you from violating the civil rights laws, right? Completely ineffectual.
If I understand your argument correctly, I believe that this Secretary of State official did have authority to register or not register this individual. And the voting came from the transaction that was misleading.
There is no actual authority to register aliens to vote.
Of course not. Well, then that actually starts as the foundation of our defense, because there is the misleading and mistaken statement or action by the government official. We have the immigration court specifically saying she was doing what she was told to do after she presented her Philippine passport. The Board of Immigration Appeals used the word misleading when it was reviewing the record and was looking at whether or not the entrapment by estoppel defense should apply. We have, at the very least, a prima facie case. And if we're going to get into the nuances of whether or not it absolves Mrs. Keithley, let's let the immigration court decide. Because the judge, if reading his decision, you'll see he stopped at the very moment where he could have applied the entrapment by estoppel defense.
Sure that I understand your argument. You are not arguing that anyone affirmatively told your client to vote. Is that true?
Actually, I'm arguing that the issuance of the voter registration card was an affirmative...
Then you're not arguing that anybody told your client to vote, and therefore necessarily you are not saying that anybody assured your client that voting under the circumstances was lawful.
Anybody can, if anybody is to mean the system, a Secretary of State official culminating with the system being the Board of Elections by issuing the voter registration card, yes, I'm saying somebody told her to vote. Somebody told her it was okay to vote, I should say.
Illinois law does require proof of citizenship in order to register, does it not?
Well, that's an interesting question, because in researching this, I was thinking, how in the world did this happen? And how in the world is it happening a lot? As reflected in the record, we have a letter from a congressman saying it's a systemic issue. And the way it's happening is apparently motor voter is perceived as trumping the state law, that when a foreign-born applicant for driver's license is seeking to register to vote, they should show where and when they were naturalized. Now, there comes in issues relating to state law and the supremacy of federal law, and I only know what is being followed here, because I did contact the governor's office, the secretary of state's office, the attorney general, and everybody's saying, they're pointing their finger at somebody else and saying, we're just doing what we're told. So when you have a foreign-born applicant fresh from the Philippines, whose the family has done everything they were supposed to, followed every minutia in the labyrinth of U.S. immigration law, and she's being slapped with deportation. I mean, we have in deportation proceedings that the law should be construed in favor of the applicant, and we have, if any lingering ambiguity exists, that this is that case. And if there's a question as to whether or not entrapment by estoppel on its merits warrants the dismissal of the voting violation charge, let the immigration court rule on it. The immigration court found Beth Keithley entirely credible. The immigration judge dismissed the false claim to citizenship charge. The immigration court said she was doing what she was told, and he stopped short. Beth Keithley is no more, her vote is no more in violation of voting laws than a motorist who's waved through a stop sign by a police officer. Just as we wouldn't give him a ticket, we shouldn't give Beth Keithley a deportation order. She was relying on the guidance of a government official. If there's no further questions, I'll reserve my remaining time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Counsel? Ms. O'Donnell.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. Margaret O'Donnell.
This is the second essentially identical case that's been argued in this court in the last 2 weeks, just to me. I notice that your brief doesn't discuss the other one that I have in mind, which is Kamani against Holder, argued on October 5.
That's correct, Your Honor. I did not.
How many others are pending in this circuit?
I don't know, but I'd be happy to do a search in the office and
I would like to know how many others there are like that, as we've got. As I say, this will be the second one that's been argued just to me, and I sit on only a third, maybe a little less than a third of the circuit's oral arguments.
I'll be happy to do a search. I probably should have done that before I came and asked how many outstanding voter cases, because if, as counsel said, it's endemic in Illinois because of the federal voter motor registration, then it should also be in other circuits. But this is the first one in 6 or 7 years that I've encountered.
Mm-hmm. What kind of discretion does your office exercise in determining whether or not to pursue these?
The discretion really lies with the Department of Homeland Security, and that would be dictated by their most recent Morton memo.
How much scrutiny did this case get?
In our office?
Well, with Homeland Security.
I'm uncertain. I can't speak for them because I wasn't part of that, but I can tell you that it went through several levels in our office.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What?
It went through several levels of discussion in our office.
The finding of the court, the immigration judge, was in every respect that this woman was a model citizen or a model person in this country.
That's correct.
Except for this.
That's absolutely correct. And the problem we have is that this is a general intent crime. It doesn't matter what she intended, whether she intended to bring down the government or just exercise her franchise. But we are, that's the statute that we're dealing with. And the equities of the case don't really help us in trying to resolve that issue, because we have to assume that Congress wrote the statute as it intended it to be enforced.
I'm lost. Doesn't the Attorney General have a general authority to parole aliens into the country? And of course, the Attorney General also has an authority, if this alien is removed, to permit her to come back tomorrow morning. Normally, a removal has a 5-year bar. The Attorney General can waive that.
This is a permanent bar, though, I believe. I do think the Attorney General still has the discretion to waive it.
Yeah, Attorney General can waive it.
That's correct, but that's not the posture of the case at this point in time. But there are other issues with counsel's argument here. One is his assumption that the estoppel by entrapment applies in this case. He has not identified, nor could I discover, any cases where such a defense is valid in a civil proceeding. In fact, in this court's case, U.S. v. Howell, they cite to an Eighth Circuit case where they found that that there was no connection between the immigration.
Well, are you suggesting that what the immigration statute means when it says somebody is inadmissible for violating, and then here's his list of statutes, including 611, that means only a prima facie case of violating the statute, but one is supposed to ignore defenses to a claim of violating the statute?
Well, the defense of estoppel by entrapment arises out of criminal law.
Yeah, it's an affirmative defense, but if the defense is accepted, it means that the federal statute has not been violated. No crime has been committed.
That's correct. But the purpose of the defense...
And the immigration statute says that it applies to people who have violated 611.
That's
so
correct.
One would think that if you have a defense, which means you haven't violated 611, then the immigration case can't be predicated on a violation of 611. Isn't that perfectly straightforward?
It is perfectly straightforward, except that the reason for estoppel by entrapment arises out of a due process and liberty interest in criminally sanctioned cases. There is no liberty interest here.
Well, it's a broader doctrine than that. It's a terribly named doctrine. But if an agent of the Secret Service comes up to somebody and says, we're investigating a sale of counterfeit currency, I want you to go to Mr. Smith and offer him $10,000 of these counterfeit $100 bills and see if he buys your bills, And you go to Smith and you sell him $10,000 of counterfeit currency, knowing it to be counterfeit. You can't be criminally prosecuted for distributing counterfeit currency because somebody with actual authority to conduct an investigation has said, you're acting as my agent, and you go do this. I mean, we call that entrapment by estoppel if some silly prosecutor prosecutes, but it means there's been no violation of the counterfeiting law. Now, if there's a counterfeiting counterpart to 611 saying you're inadmissible if you've distributed counterfeiting currency, it sounds like what you're saying is, oh, yeah, we'd throw that alien out, even though he was just following the Secret Service's directions.
It's very different.
Entrapment by estoppel is an affirmative defense.
These are very different facts, though. In your fact pattern, you actually have a representation made. You have.
I set it up so that it would be a good defense. And here it may not be a good defense.
That's exactly my second
point.
No,
the point you're making here is that it doesn't matter whether it's a good defense. The agency isn't going to determine whether it's a good defense because the agency is going to ignore all claims of entrapment by estoppel. And if it's going to ignore them all, then in the case I gave, my Secret Service hypothetical, the agency is going to ignore that.
I think that's taking it a bit far. What I'm saying is there is no case law that shows that entrapment by estoppel is available or estoppel by entrapment is available in civil proceedings. My second part of my argument is that even if it were, Mrs. Keithley cannot make the elements.
Yeah, well, that's a different argument that, since nobody told her either that she should vote or that it was proper for her to vote, and that's a completely different line of argument.
Okay. Well, my final point then would be that in her opening brief to this court, Mrs. Keithley actually acknowledges that her claim is not based on conduct by an immigration or federal official, and she does not ask DHS to be stopped from charging her with inadmissibility. Instead, Mrs. Keithley presents a question of statutory interpretation as to whether or not these four sorts of defenses should be available in these civil proceedings. And if you have any other questions, I'll be happy to entertain them.
Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't they be?
Well, I think because this comes out of Raley versus Ohio, the Supreme Court's case, Raley versus Ohio, and Cobbs versus Louisiana, where people who were under criminal charges were advised that whatever they were doing was okay. And so and it was an affirmative charge. It was an active misrepresentation. And these people conformed their behavior to that, and as such were suddenly under criminal sanction. They were at risk of losing their liberty. And that's where the due process challenge came up. In a civil proceeding, there's no due process liberty interest in an adjustment of status proceeding. So it's kind of stretching that whole.
Well, not in a legal sense, but there is a liberty interest. She won't be able to remain in the United States.
Well, she will not be able to remain in the United States. That's correct.
That's certainly a liberty. Isn't that a liberty?
Well, no, she's not being detained.
Not legally speaking, but that's.
It impacts how she had hoped her life would play out. Yes, I don't deny that. But whether or not it's sufficient in the line of cases to support applying this in. Now, maybe it should be applied, but there is no due process issue, which is the underpinning of the whole defense in criminal cases. Anything else, Your Honors? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Counsel. Mr. Haynes, you have maybe 30 seconds.
Very briefly, we're not seeking criminal defenses to be applied in civil proceedings. We're trying to have criminal defenses be taken into account when there's an equation involving a violation of a criminal statute. Whether or not Beth Keithley voted in violation of that statute shouldn't depend on the forum in which the case is being heard. It either was violated or it wasn't. And in this situation, we have Beth Keithley with a valid defense, and if there's any question as to whether or not she's entitled to her green card or should be approved and be allowed to stay here, the immigration court is the best forum for that decision to be made. The judge heard the witnesses, the judge listened to the arguments, and he deliberately stopped short, perhaps waiting for guidance from this court. And it is a case of first impression. Thank you, Your Honors.
Do you know, by the way, of any other cases pending here?
What I can say to this court is that as somebody who regularly practices both in the immigration court and before Citizenship and Immigration Services, there are dozens, if not hundreds, of these cases. One of the interesting things to distinguish here, and it's in a footnote in my opening brief, had she arrived here on a green card?
Doesn't answer my question.
Sorry, Judge.
Do you know of any other cases pending in this court? That's my question.
Only the case.
What we need to do is coordinate so our panels are making consistent decisions. That's why I'm asking for the litigants' help.
Excuse me, Judge. I only know of Mr. Carpenter's case, the Kiwani case, that had been argued here the week before last.
Okay. Thank you.
And I know
very much
that he has a companion case to that on a motion to reopen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mm-hmm. Case is taken under.